We're about to witness the best day throughout the whole year, or the best 2 days throughout the whole year, the day of Arafah and the first day of Eid, which is the day of Eid al-Adha. The blessed day of Arafah, which is tomorrow, where the people in Hajj, they go, all of them in one place, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him for forgiveness, asking Him to free them from hellfire, and where the tears are being shed, and where people are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a scene that words cannot explain it. For some of you that did go for Hajj, the day of Arafah is a day that has never been nothing that would be for forgetting for. It's a very powerful day where everyone, millions of people, they look alike and they're turning to the same God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. All of them, they have, each one of them, they have their own needs and their own dua and own supplication. Find all of them raising their hands, and those are in tears, and those are supplicating in groups, and those who are sitting, and those who are standing, and they're all busy with the remembrance and the supplication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a scene that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of them. And He is proud of them in front of His angels, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He would tell them, they came to Me from every corner of the world asking Me for forgiveness. And in that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and free from the hellfire in it that is in so much number, more than any other day throughout the whole year. It's the day where the shaitan is never seen more humiliated and more rejected than this day, because of the how mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much vast and so much showering everyone with His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us go for Hajj more and more every year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from the people in Hajj. And for those who didn't go for Hajj, they have something too. The freedom from the hellfire is not just for the people in Hajj, but it's for everyone. And seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that day, it's for everyone, whether the people are in Hajj or whether they are not in Hajj. As Muslims, the thing that makes us feel sad is when we miss out on the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not when we miss out on this worldly gain, because it has to go away. But the thing that stays after a person dies is his acts of worship, a way of thanking our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala of His bounties, and the fun and the enjoyment of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim feels it more than the person that is committing a sin, or the one that is in his lust, or anything like that of the worldly thing. The worship of Allah, the enjoyment of it, is so much tremendous enjoy for a Muslim to do. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran about the people that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they wanted to go fight for Allah's cause, and they were turned away because they didn't have enough money to be carried to the battlefield. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Which roughly means that when they came to the Prophet ﷺ asking him for to go for the fighting for the cause of Allah, he told them that I don't have anything for you to get you to go there. There's no money for them. They left with their eyes full of tears. Dear brothers and sisters, their eyes were full of tears, not because of they lost a worldly gain, or not because of they lost a great money, but rather their eyes were full of tears because they would not be able to go fight for the cause of Allah to protect His religion. They lived for their religion. The thing that made them sad is when they are missing out on their religion, when they miss an act of worship. That's what they were sad of. That's why the scholar said, this is, by the name of Allah, is the crying of men, true men. The true men, they cry when they miss out on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were crying because they would not be able to go fight, to go give themselves and their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect His religion. They were not crying on worldly gain like kids would do, but rather they were true men when they thought that someone would be better than them in acts of worship. That's what that made them sad. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when the verses of the Quran came, سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض, be enraged for the forgiveness of Allah, of your Lord, and the paradise that is twisted like the wisdom of the heavens and the earth. Their only concern in this life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increase their ibadah, their acts of worship, as a way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would never see anyone, or they cannot see someone doing a deed more than them, unless they would do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Hajj was been the most virtuous act during these days, and how every Muslim wishes to be at that time, a lot of people, and most of the people, cannot make it for Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them something instead, gave them acts of remembrance, gave them acts of and sunnahs that they do during these 2 days. And there are simple hadith that talks about Hajj and the reward of Hajj, one of which is a great blessing of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, من صلى الصبح في جماعة ثم جلس في مصلى يذكر الله حتى تطلع الشمس ثم صلى ركعتين كان له مثل أجر حجة وعمرة تامة. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تامة تامة تامة, the meaning of which, whoever prays Fajr in jama'ah, in congregation, and that's for men, and then sits in his place of prayer and make a remembrance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the sun rises, and then he prays 2 rak'ah, he would get the same reward as the reward of the Hajj and the Umrah, complete, 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 as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reward is tremendous from Allah. For those who didn't go for Hajj, there are other deeds that can be done to have the same reward. Another hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which is a very strange hadith to a lot of people when they hear it, but it's an authentic hadith narrated by Imam Abi Dawood, and Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah has authenticated this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من تطهر في بيته ثم خرج إلى المسجد لأداء صلاة مكتوبة فأجره مثل أجر الحاج المحرم ومن خرج لصلاة الضحى كان له مثل أجر المعتل. The hadith says, whoever purify himself in his home, meaning making wudu, and then sets out to the masjid, to the mosque, to pray an obligatory prayer, his reward is like the reward of the person making hajj in a state of ihram. The rewards are so tremendous from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the mercy of Allah. The deed is very simple. What is more simpler than a person making wudu in his house and going out to the masjid to pray in the masjid? It's a very simple deed. But see the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward is the reward of a person went for hajj. And that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He showers His creation with. So because the making the obligatory acts of worship are the most beloved things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than the optional hajj. We know that the hajj is obligatory for every Muslim once in lifetime. Once it's done, then after that it's something optional. With all the virtuousness of hajj, like the Prophet said in the hadith, whoever goes for a hajj, a righteous one, he has no reward but Jannah. That means the reward for someone that goes for hajj and it's a virtuous one, it's a righteous one without sin, his reward will be Jannah. Straight Jannah, paradise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with all this reward, if it's the obligatory one is done, the optional one after that is less reward than fulfilling the obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is done 5 times a day. So for you, those of us that didn't have the chance to go for Hajj, we have so much tremendous rewards to gain. Praying our 5 times a day, praying, making remembrance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abstaining from committing sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people can get the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares for them. And those of us that didn't go for Hajj yet, as far as the obligatory one, which is the once in lifetime, we should try our best and take the means to be able to fulfill this great obligation. And this great obligation, there are certain acts of worship and feelings that you would never feel in any other sort of worship. The feel of being humble, the feel of feeling that you are nobody compared to the vast majority of the Muslims. You imagine that you are in the Day of Judgment with all these types of people, that all of them are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing will decrease the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He answers all these people. You would feel humbled, you would feel that like a true slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a feeling that you would never get it in any other types of worship than Hajj. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who stand in Arafah next year, inshaAllah, and the years after. Allahumma ameen. And for those who didn't go, what to do in the Day of Arafah? The Day of Arafah, as I said, one of the most virtuous days, one of the most days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed people from the hellfire. So let's see now, from this list, how many of us will be freed from hellfire? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are all among those who are freed from the hellfire, and that's why we should do acts of worship and supplicate and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the Jews came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he told him, O leader of the believers, one verse in your book, if it was revealed on us, ourselves meaning the Jews, we would have taken this day as a Eid, as a feast. And he told them this verse, which is Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Deena. On this day I had perfected your religion, and I had perfected and completed my bounty on you, and I had chosen the Islam, the religion of Islam, as your religion. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I know when this was revealed and the place it was revealed in. It was revealed when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing in Arafah on the day of Friday. The Arafah came on the day of Friday. So the day of Arafah is the day of Eid, is the day of festival, is the day where Allah perfected the religion of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this day a virtuous one, which has great meaning in it, that the feast or the ayat of the Muslims in this dunya is the same as their feasts in the Day of Judgment in Paradise. So every Friday they would go in Paradise to meet their Lord, the same way like they used to do in Friday during the worldly affairs when they went to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Day of Arafah has so much different characteristics, one of which, and one of the greatest virtues, as I said, is it's the day where Allah had perfected the religion and completed His bounty on the Muslims. So we remember that, and we thank Allah for His bounty, because the greatest bounty of everything is the bounty of Islam, is the ni'mah of Islam, and this is something that we have to appreciate and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it day and night, is the bounty of guidance, that we are guided to the truth, that we saw the truth following the religion of Islam. This is the greatest bounty that a Muslim can have. The day of Arafah, its fasting, is a way to remit the sins of 2 years, the past year and the present year. This hadith was narrated in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, in Suyamu Yawmi Arafah, Ahtasibu ala Allahi, an yukaffira sanatayn, sanatan madiya wa sanatan qadira. The fasting, the day of Arafah, it expiates the sins of the believer, the past year and the present year, and that is the minor sins. But the major sins, the person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, in the day of Arafah, it's the day of forgiveness of the sins and the freedom from hellfire. As it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim, and Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said that the Prophet said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبِيدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُوا ثُمَّ يُبَاهِ بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَيَقُولُ مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. She said that the Prophet said, there is no day throughout the year more in which that Allah would free in its slaves, His people, from the hellfire other than the day of Arafah. And He would descend and get closer to the people in a way that is suitable for His magnificence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. and he would be proud of them, of his creation, to his angels. And he would tell them, look at my slaves, they came to me from all sorts and places of the world with their way of, they look as their, with the things that they wear and things like that. And the forgiveness of the sins in that day, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy showers everyone. And the Prophet said in the hadith narrated by Imam Malik in Al-Muwatta, مَا رُؤِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَوْمًا هُوَ فِيهِ أَصْغَرْ وَلَا أَدْحَرْ وَلَا أَحْقَرْ وَلَا أَغْيَضَ مِنْهُ يَوْمُ عَرَفَةٍ وَمَا ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِمَا يُرَى مِنْ تَنَزُّلِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَتَجَاوُزِ اللَّهِ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ الْعِظَامِ إِلَّا مَا رُؤِيَ يَوْمُ بَدْرٍ. Prophet said, the meaning of which, that the shaitan was not seen and is not seen in a day smaller or more humiliated or more angry other than the day of Arafah, but because he sees the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showering the people on that blessed day. So fasting that day is sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the hadith, protecting one's sight and hearing and body from committing sins during that day is something that a Muslim should try to do. Because if we are seeking the forgiveness of the sins, how can we indulge in sins in that blessed day, in the blessed day of Arafat? Also making remembrance to Allah, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the most things to do is to repent, to have tawbah from all previous sins, whether you remember it or you don't remember it, by making dua to Allah to forgive all the sins. And forgiving the sins means that we quit doing the sin, and we have the regret of committing the sin, and we have the strong will that we would never commit it again, and changing our life to act according to our acts of worship and obedience to Allah, and to be away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what repentance means, changing one's life and changing one's habits to be according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So fasting this day, being free from committing sins that day, is all signs of forgiveness of the sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who repent to Him and those who He accepts their fasting through the day of Arafah, and make us among those who are free from the hellfire. And then comes the day of Eid, the day of the feast, where Muslims are happy. Happy because Allah has bestowed His bounty on them, in which He has given them the permission to worship Him. And that's why we celebrate the Eid. We do not celebrate the Eid by just wearing the new clothes and having happy moments with the family. The real Eid is the Eid where the Muslim feel that Allah had bestowed His bounty on him, that He had given him the permission to worship Him, and He had made him successful in doing acts of worship, whether it's in Hajj or whether it's in the 10 days of the Hijjah for those who didn't go for Hajj. Then the Eid comes a place and a time of happiness, that Allah's ni'mah has been bestowed on the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great Eid that people would celebrate also in the paradise where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for His slaves. We start the day of Eid. Eid al-Adha, by the way, is more virtuous than Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan. The reason for that is, as I said, the Eid of al-Adha, this Eid, is better and more virtuous than the Eid of Al-Fitr after Ramadan in reward, because the Eid Al-Fitr after Ramadan has the prayer of Eid, and charity that is given as food before the prayer time. But in the day of Al-Eid Al-Adha, it's more reward, more virtuous, because it has the prayer, plus it has the slaughtering of the animal, which is both charity and an act of worship by itself. When you slaughter an animal, as we said, it's an act of worship, so it's more in rewards and more virtuous than the day of Eid al-Fitr. There are certain sunnah, certain ways that the Prophet ﷺ used to do in the day of Eid. We try to do them and fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ so that we can have rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, praying the Eid prayer. The prayer of al-Eid is something with the differences of opinion, but it's obligatory for every Muslim. The Prophet and his companions never ceased from performing it, and they gathered the people for it, including the women who were having their menses. Even the women having their menses should go out for Eid, but they should be away from the place of prayers. even the children and all the elderly, everyone would go out, and it's sunnah to pray in the outside where people can have more gathering, and everyone would go out, but the women should have the proper clothing with the proper hijab and not intermingling with men, and that is a condition for their going for their prayer. Dressing in the best clothes that a person can have is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Used to do that along with other companions of the Messenger. Also, in Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan, it's sunnah to eat before you go. But in Eid al-Adha, it's sunnah to eat afterwards from the animal, that if you would slaughter an animal, you would start eating with the animal that you slaughtered. But there is no harm of eating before or after, but it's just a way of doing the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Saying takbir loudly, saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Saying this takbir coming from the heart and from the tongue, believing in it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. None is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise all the praises to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is worthy of worship except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something that we have to get out of from our hearts and making the takbirs and raising our voices with the takbir. And the takbir in Eid al-Adha, which comes after each prayer and in all times, starts from the Fajr of the day of Arafah, and ends at the Asr time of the fourth day of Eid, which is the third day of Ayyam al-Tashreeq. You have the day of Arafah, you have the first day of Eid, then you have 3 days afterwards, the Ayyam al-Tashreeq, where the people in Hajj, they say in Mina. So the end of the takbir, of saying this takbir after each salah, ends by the Asr prayer of the fourth day of Eid. And then the Prophet ﷺ, as I said, used to pray in the Musalla, which is an uncovered place rather than in the Masjid, because it was narrated in Al-Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ used to go on the day of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha to the Musalla, the place, uncovered place, and the first thing he would do is pray. When a person goes to the Eid prayer, he should not perform any voluntary prayer, whether that before or after the Eid prayer. It was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ prayed 2 rak'ah for Eid prayer and did not pray before or after them. There is no 2 rak'ah before you go or before you sit in the prayer of the Eid, except if the Eid prayer has been done in the Masjid. If it's done in the Masjid, then you have to pray 2 rak'ah before you sit down. It's not the sunnah of Eid, because there's no sunnah of Eid. There's no optional prayer before Eid, but we have to pray before we sit down in the Masjid. But if it's performed in the outside, then there's no 2 rak'ah. A person would come and sit directly and make takbir. There's no adhan, there's no iqamah for Eid prayer. Once the imam comes, people stand and they start praying without iqamah, without making adhan. Also, one of the sunnah is that when you take a certain path going to the Eid prayer, you should take a different one coming back home from it. The Prophet ﷺ used to return from an Eid prayer on a path other than the one he took going to it, and it was narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. Reason for that is to have more witnesses to you in the day of judgment that you have passed through all these types of routes for the sake of Allah. It is obligatory for the Muslim to be away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to celebrate any other feast that is not celebrated by the Muslims. The feasts are only, the Eid are only Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. The Prophet ﷺ, when he came to Medina, and he saw that the people are celebrating 2 days of celebration, he said, Allah has given you better than those feasts, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. So these are the Eid of the Muslims. These are the times of celebration. This is the time of having fun and food and drinks that is all permissible for us, and the time of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have children. We have to make them have the most happiest moments during these types of Eid, especially if you live in a non-Muslim country. You should make them feel that this is our Eid, this is our time of happiness. Since we did not celebrate any other feasts and celebrations, we should make sure that we have these types of celebration, which is the Eid al-Adha, a good one for the children and a good one for us too. Following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, slaughtering an animal during that day is one of the greatest deeds during that day. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of the deeds during the first day of Eid is to slaughter an animal for the sake of Allah. So we slaughter it and say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and we distribute the meat, one third to ourselves, one third to the relatives, and one third to the poor, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And visiting the relatives and being kind to one another and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengership, the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and being able to fulfill the orders of Allah in these blessed days of Al-Eid is something that a Muslim should do and should ask Allah to make him among those who would go for Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us. There are certain things, it's not everything, but it's just because of the time. I don't want to take too much of your time, and I know there's a lecture after that. If there's any questions regarding Eid or the Eid prayer or anything like that, please feel free to ask. And we have 15 minutes, and then I'll be gone, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khayran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us. And to make this Eid a better Eid for us as Muslims and for the Muslims throughout the whole world, and to give us steadfastness in our religion, and to make us among those who are, their sins are being forgiven, and those who are, their body has been freed from the hellfire, and make them enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to guide all of us to the truth, and to guide those of us who are not on the truth to be on the truth. Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If you have any questions, please go ahead and ask.